Stay tuned for Ecologic.
Coming up next is Ecologic at 6 a.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Oh, people, people, don't you love this earth? We share with everything that grows. Don't you want to taste freedom, peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. It'd be paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry.
Solar power, ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Good morning. Glad you can join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic at 6 a.m. for December 17th, 2022.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
This is a new time for us. We were moved from 2:30 p.m. Friday, and so we'll bring you a different kind of show. As this is only our third show at this time, we should introduce Ecologic. We cover important environmental news, information, and solutions-oriented things you can do, as well as our Celebration of Nature series. For Ecologic at 6 a.m., we'd rather not jar you with atrocities of climate chaos first thing in the morning.
What you're hearing now is pre-recorded, but we'll go live at about 6:20. And we'll be taking your calls to hear what you have to say about the environment at this time of day.
Last week, we talked about This Earth by Judy Gorman, one of our intro songs. The third song in our opening theme medley is a reggae tune by Sylvanas, Save the Earth. I got that song by email by a listener. It might have been Sylvanas himself, not long after Ecologic started back in June of 2002. Hapte Selassie, who does Labrish, a reggae show, here on WBAI overnights on Fridays from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., told me that Sylvanas is out of Toronto, Ontario, which has a sizable Jamaican population. Here is all of Save the Earth by Sylvanas.
Save the Earth by Sylvanus.
It's great to hear about creative solutions that are a win-win, such as wildlife crossings. Although more common in Europe, more of these are now being constructed in the United States and Canada. Wildlife crossings are highway overpasses and sometimes tunnels designed with greenery and a natural appearance that provide safe passage for animals who are used to walking through part of their homeland that a new roadway cuts through. Fencing is planned along the side of the highway to help them find their way to the overpass or tunnel. Once it becomes a known feature, animals can use it as a matter of course, avoiding collisions that can be deadly for people and animals alike.
The four-lane Trans-Canada Highway, which travels 51 miles through Banff National Park, was a hot spot for animal killings before 38 underpasses and 6 overpasses were built. Doing this cut by 80% the number of elk, deer, and other animals killed by vehicles. Holding the record for the most wildlife bridges is the Netherlands, with 600 of them, protecting badgers, boar, and deer. One of these is the longest such bridge in the world. Constructed in 2006, it bypasses a business park, a roadway, a railway line, a sports complex, and a river.
Mm.
In April, construction began on what will become the largest wildlife crossing in the world in Los Angeles, providing cougars safer passage from the Santa Monica Mountains across the city to the Santa Susana Mountains. Near home, Interstate 78 through the Watchung Reservation has many overpasses with dense vegetation mimicking the natural forest, saving deer, foxes, raccoons, squirrels, skunks, and other small animals.
The United States Federal Highway Administration has documented 21 federally listed threatened or endangered animal species for which road mortality is a threat to the survival of the species or a population. They have high-tech sensing systems that can work for larger animals, though it seemed, to us at least, that a more natural pathway is a simpler and better option. Science News magazine reports in their December 3rd issue that, with or without these bridges or tunnels, deer auto collisions increase when the time changes from daylight savings to standard time. The switch means that human activity takes place in hours that are newly dark, and almost one-tenth of collisions take place at that time. The increase is especially notable in the eastern U.S., where it falls in the middle of mating season for white-tailed deer, who are particularly active then. The return to daylight savings time in the spring has little noticeable effect. Although some 2% of the collisions would still occur, it is estimated that tens of thousands of deer and a few dozen humans and many injuries and automobile damage costs would be saved. Science News magazine suggests that this is another reason to move toward the light.
When I was in Alaska in the 70s and witnessed the building of a pipeline, I wish there had been something like this because I learned the caribou wouldn't cross below a huge pipeline being constructed across their migration route, even though it was built with plenty of headroom for the caribou to walk under.
Thanks for that story, Donna. Caribou don't think like pipeline builders do. I remember reading about that, and I think they've learned how to build pipelines with caribou in mind. But of course, if we didn't need so much oil and gas, we wouldn't need the pipelines.
Here is something the EPA wanted to do during the last administration that they are doing now. The EPA proposes closing a loophole that has allowed some companies to avoid reporting on per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances known as PFAS or PFAS. And similar toxic chemicals. EPA Administrator Michael Regan said, PFAS continue to pose an urgent threat to our country, and communities deserve to know if they may be exposed because of the way these chemicals are being managed, recycled, or released.
Under the move, PFAS would be added to a list of special chemicals of concern, mandating that companies notify EPA when they exceed very low release thresholds of 0.1 gram up to 100 pounds. Taking the action, the agency said, quote, will result in a more complete picture of the releases and waste management quantities for these PFAS. The move is already sparking praise from environmental groups.
Don't let the many acronyms out there turn you off. PFAS are important to know about. PFAS are a class of nearly 5,000 synthetic chemicals that make products water and grease resistant. They are in nonstick cookware, water-repellent clothing, stain-resistant carpets, lubricants, firefighting foams, paints, cosmetics, and paper plates our kids eat off of at school. Humans are exposed to PFAS through contaminated food, air, dust, rain, soil, and drinking water.
Termed forever chemicals, PFAS can take thousands of years to break down in the environment and can remain in our bodies for decades, causing cancers and other health problems. PFAS are now in the blood of 99% of Americans and have contaminated the drinking water of as many as 110 million Americans, particularly those living near chemical manufacturing facilities, airports, and military bases. By the way, the Kensico Reservoir is near Westchester County Airport, where 90% of New York City and 80% of Westchester get its drinking water. Even the smallest exposure to PFAS can cause a variety of cancers, thyroid disease, hormone disruption, decreased fertility, and other serious health issues. Every American tested has PFAS in their blood. Although responsible companies are looking for alternatives, PFAS chemicals show up even in respected brands such as Patagonia and REI. Society has to decide if that is a valid trade-off for clothes that don't need ironing. Industry has made that decision for us.
Well, New York State has already taken the initial action on these chemicals in drinking water. With the bill passed last January, it requires the Department of Health, or DOH, to issue regulations for 23 additional emerging drinking water contaminants. The draft regulations were issued on October 5th, with a 60-day public comment period that ended last week. In addition, 14 other toxic chemicals, including 4 PFAS, will be included on DOH's second emerging contaminant testing list. The new law requires the list to be updated at least every 3 years. This is another example of states leading the way and the feds following, which is usually how things get done.
Environmental groups are opposing a bill, A-577, scheduled for Monday in the New Jersey Assembly Telecommunications and Utilities Committee, that would encourage the use of renewable natural gas, allowing gas companies to expand infrastructure.
If they only use renewable natural gas, they technically won't be able to use any natural gas because it's not renewable.
Let's have some more music. This might be the only song that is a Hanukkah and a Christmas song at the same time. Longtime listeners probably remember Ken used to play it every December. Here is you, Blumenfeld's song, Long-Haired Radical Socialist Jew.
Thank you.
That was you, Blumenfeld's long-haired radical socialist Jew. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert. We are now live, getting ready to take your phone calls. The number is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Raincoats and PFAS and you. One of our listeners asked us about raincoats without PFAS chemicals after she read what we were talking about this morning. We found an article from momovation.com with information on safe alternatives, which we link to from our website, ecoradio.org. The site lists specific membranes and water repellents that are safe to use, along with specific brands categorized as not our favorite, better, and best and safest. The article states right at the top that the information was medically reviewed and that there are affiliate links in the article. It also lists the sources from which they compiled the list. We appreciate the transparency. Lots of jacket companies switch to a family of chemicals known as C6, which are still persistent, may actually be more damaging to the environment and to human health. Also, with the increase in vegan lifestyles in Europe and the desire to wear fuller wool coats and natural fabrics such as wool and leather, companies wanting to shield their customers from dangerous chemicals have had to work harder to find alternative solutions. We'll try to keep you up to date.
We know we promise no disastrous news this early in the morning, but last week, caller Rose from New Jersey alerted us to an environmental disaster in Kansas, a major leak from the Keystone Pipeline. We love when listeners call us with story tips, and we have additional information for you. On Wednesday, December 7th, the Keystone Pipeline ruptured, and 14,000 barrels worth of oil spilled into northwest Kansas. This was more than all 22 previous Keystone Pipeline spills since its inception in 2010. As the New York U.S. Government Accountability Office reported to Congress, most of them occurred on TC Energy property. There is concern that the increased pressure in the pipeline so that more gas can go through faster, even though permitted, was too much for the line, which has had a number of leaks lately.
You know, we're lucky it was a leak and not an explosion. There's an average of 2 pipeline explosions in the U.S. every week.
Yeah, right? We reported on the situation with Cabot Oil and Gas, now Coterra, and their contribution to a new water supply for residents of Dimock, Pennsylvania. But further research showed that there was more to the story.
Mm-hmm.
MarcellusDrilling.com, an industry publication, said PAAG Shapiro dismisses 14 felony charges against Coterra re-Dimock. The article was, from our perspective, quite inflammatory, but we wonder why articles focusing on the no-contest plea and financial settlement ignore the dismissals. After more than a decade of denials of shirking responsibility and accountability, Coterra pleaded to their crime, and the people of Dimock finally had their day in court, Shapiro said. 12 years ago, these same folks were promised a water line by DEP and the Commonwealth, only to have it squashed. And for the next 12 years, these people had to find very creative ways to get water for their homes, water for their families, their kids, their critters. And it was not pretty. Victoria Switzer, a Dimock resident, said at the press conference, "One neighbor had a child that went from kindergarten to college without ever having clean water from their tap."
Wow.
As part of the plea, Coterra is legally supposed to pay $16.29 million for the construction of a new public water line in the county, and the company will cover the cost of bottled water in the interim while the line is built. Coterra is also legally supposed to cover the water bills for impacted residents for the next 75 years. No new wells will be permitted to be drilled at surface locations within the restricted area. Any wells drilled outside the area that have horizontal sections in the Marcellus Shale under the restricted area, more than a mile and a half below ground, are subject to the strictest conditions imposed on any driller in the Commonwealth. Shapiro said the entire ordeal won't be over until people can put glass up to their taps and drink it. The criminal case has not slowed Coterra's business. It is the leading shale driller in the nation's number two gas-producing state.
Wow. The DEP reported in November that Coterra has been cited for 1,167 environmental violations since the first consent order. The first consent order banned the company from the new fracking in the moratorium zone. It was drafted in November 2009. Since then, they've been cited for so many violations. Shapiro's the new governor-elect, and unless he orders the DEP to rescind the consent order, which personally seems unlikely, Coterra will be permitted to drill vertically immediately outside the moratorium zone and horizontally beneath it. Residents such as Ray Kemble feel lied to by regulators. Karen Faradin says, Attorney General Shapiro punted on the question about the moratorium, saying Wolf was still in charge. She said, he doesn't get to do that any longer. He owns this now.
We think you value the environmental news and views we bring you each week. You listen to environmental news because you care. Ecologic also cares about you and the air you breathe and the water you drink. Let's work together to keep this show and WBAI on the air. Now we need you to show us that you care. Yes, it is serious. Yes, you've heard it before. Yeah, this is different. We are at a crossroads, and your participation makes a difference. Ecologic brings you actions you can take. Letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions. It's all important. And the nitty-gritty of raising funds are also part of that equation. Help us, please, to keep WBAI on the air. Call and contribute now, 212-209-2950.
Please consider taking the next few moments to pick up the phone and make that call. Go online and make that donation. Contributing now shows that Ecologic is important to you and you care about protecting our air and water. It's a win-win for you and Ecologic.
Ecologic and WBAI continue to offer you environmental news, information, and entertainment. Ecologic at 6 a.m. includes more music and listener calls with fewer live interviews with experts. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
We have a history of championing public spaces, a.k.a. the Commons, from Van Cortlandt Park to Governor's Island to East River Park to Liberty State Park in New Jersey and the New York Botanical Gardens. These are among the many environmental stories we cover that affect our health and well-being. Ecologic serves you and the community. We can't do it without you. This is the truth. We're about truth, and we're about exposing the bad guys and celebrating the good ones. Support us. Call 212-209-2950.
The environment is not some abstract thing. It's the air we breathe and the water we drink. And even though you may not know much about crop irrigation quality, that affects you too. And all this affects our health and healthcare costs. Flooding in Central America. And then where are your bananas? Where's your butter going to come from if there are droughts and cows can't graze on yummy grass?
Listen, what do you hear? Nothing if there isn't a transmitter to broadcast our signal that you're now hearing. Donating to the Tower Fund to keep WBAI on the air and to keep that transmitter broadcasting WBAI. We thank you for everything you have done for our WBAI in the past and look for your continued support so we can keep on thanking you. A good way to do that is to become an Ecologic BAI buddy. You can phone or go online and say you want to be a buddy in the name of your favorite radio program, Ecologic.
Once upon a time, there was no listener-supported radio. Then the Pacifica Network was created. WBAI became part of that network 10 and a half years later, and you have kept us going ever since. WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. Were you there in the beginning? Probably not. Are you going to be there in the end? We hope not. We hope you will help us keep going. We need you to help us keep going. Call 212-209-2950.
Right now, WBAI's end of year campaign, Let's Enjoy Our Future Together, will help keep the station take charge of our tower rent to Times Square for 2023. You can support WBAI's Free Speech Community Radio by becoming a BAI buddy, pledging for premiums, or simply making a one-time donation today. The Tower Fund is back on our radar. It will continue to keep coming back, since WBAI needs to ensure that our signal gets to you. The Times Square Tower has a wide reach, but if the rent's not paid, that won't help us.
Donating to the Transmitter Tower Fund helps keep every single show on the air. Go to www.towerfund.wbai.org. Help WBAI take charge of our transmission tower rent. We need everybody. We need you. Towerfund.wbai.org.
It is your support of the Transmitter Tower Fund that makes this show possible. Everyone, please keep going to www.towerfund.wbai.org.
There's so much that we cover that is unknown to the public or so controversial that commercial radio won't touch it. The whole thing about East River Park, the press was gung-ho about reporting the then-mayor's contribution to Prospect Park, but the previous week completely ignored a huge park being illegally destroyed. Where did you hear about that? Right here on Ecologic and other WBAI shows. Nowhere else. And that is why this Tower Fund needs your support. That is why you need to support Ecologic. That is why you need to support WBAI. Please go to www.towerfund.wbai.org now.
Ecologic has been on WBAI for 20 years, so we have covered lots of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. Our DVDs include Comparing Grassroots and National Organizing, which was a panel with four activists giving advantages and disadvantages of local versus national activism. It was a panel that seemed to have a magic to it.
To support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose from our many premiums. Please go to ecologic.wbai.org to choose for yourself from our many options. Here are some of the CDs and DVDs we have for you.
We offer a DVD with both the Hudson River Sloop Clearwater sailing up the Hudson and live music from a New York City Friends of Clearwater Water Festival.
Making Solar Happen in New York City is a three-DVD set with the January 2008 panel of four expert solar installers telling us how to grow the solar industry in New York, with the arguments that convinced the legislatures to pass the bill that had been introduced so often without results. That panel led directly to the commercial solar net metering law in New York State. This package also includes an Ecologic episode about solar and the policy changes that were and still are needed to achieve independent free electricity. It includes our guest conversation that continued after the show. Once they got going, they couldn't stop. That's a $90 donation for all three DVDs. Call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org to get your copy of Solar in the City and help the station stay on the air. A total of seven solar experts explain the potential for the solar energy that we have today and the policies that were and are needed. That's 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org for your copy of Solar in the City.
I'm impressed that our show and a panel that we planned with the New York Climate Action Group was able to have such a direct effect, cutting through a bureaucratic logjam in Albany. That is why we need your support. That is why we need you to support Ecologic, and that is why we all need to support WBAI. Please go to ecologic.wbai.org or call 212-209-2950 now. Our DVDs are available with a donation of $40 per disc. Some of these packages are multiple discs.
I'm so proud of that solar net metering success.
Yeah, that's
thousands
a great
of jobs. Yeah. We also have a variety of music CDs. The Ray Corona Band's Too Much Sunshine, The Raging Grannies with Pete Seeger at Clearwater, and an Indian Point song sampler.
And we have a 4-CD set that includes 5 Ecologic episodes, Drinking Water Plus Bottled Water and the Plastic It Comes In, Demystifying the Electricity Grid, Health Effects of Indoor Plants, plus 1 year after the BP oil spill, and fracking.
All of our CDs are yours for a donation of $35 per disc. Some are singles, some are packages. The package of that 4-CD set is $75. Most of our premiums can be found both on ecologic.wbai.org and on give2wbai.org. So go to ecologic.wbai.org, leave out the www, and donate in the name of Ecologic. We hope to become your favorite program.
Your donation gets you not only the premium, but also a 1-year membership to WBAI. There are several packages, and they're great for presents. You'll surely be the only person to give your friend or relative an exclusive environmental CD or DVD that's available only from WBAI and Ecologic. You can also become a sustaining member as a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic with a donation of just $10 a month, or $15 a month, or $25 a month, whatever you want. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We look forward to being your Ecologic buddy.
If you prefer to mail a check for your membership and or premium, the physical address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
When I'm out driving, listening to random shows on BAI, I'm impressed by the variety of voices and issues. The important subjects, from our environmental focus to free speech, militarism, local politicians, music in a variety of styles, and from many cultures. WBAI is such a wealth of information that I just can't hear anywhere else. I've been listening to WBAI since high school, more decades than I care to remember. And it has always provided news that I need, news that I would be missing without WBAI. And that's why we need your support. That is why you need to support Ecologic. That is why you need to support WBAI. Please show us how much you appreciate this type of programming by being a supporter. I guarantee you the appreciation will be mutual.
Those of you who have joined us from our Friday afternoon show will note that Donna Stein's voice has been absent in this segment. She can't be here live on Saturdays. We miss her live on air, but she is still part of our collective and a co-producer.
We're live, guys. Please, we're looking for your phone calls. The number is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877.
So give us a call.
Yeah.
That's 212-209-2877. There's a great movie that just came out. It's called Radioactive, The Women of Three Mile Island, a feature documentary that tells of the Three Mile Island meltdown through a feminist lens. It premiered at the New York's Dances with Films Festival. The film includes breaking science, exposés of massive nuclear industry and Nuclear Regulatory Commission cover-ups, criminal actions, and lies. It's a heartfelt story about 4 intrepid mothers and 2 female lawyers who fought the nuclear industry, taking the case all the way to the Supreme Court. The film won the Audience Award for Best Documentary. Look for www.ecoradio.org to keep you posted. There's a link there that's already there.
Cool. One of my issues is rail transit. I saw a video of a cliff collapsing in Palos Verdes Estates, California last week, and it made me think of what I read about a slow-moving landslide that had disrupted train traffic in California. Because of erosion near San Clemente, they're running only slow-speed freight rail, no passenger trains.
San Clemente?
Mm-hmm.
That's near the San Onofre nuclear power plant. Now, we found a few articles about landslides on the coast of Southern California near San Clemente affecting rain service. But if there were any landslides on the coast, well, the San Onofre nuclear plant is right on the coast near San Clemente. Interesting that no one wrote one word about it, not even to spout the industry's omnipresent and assurances.
Yeah. You know, I was on a call with the National Nuclear Decommissioning Group, so I asked about the situation, since the railroad press has made no mention of San Onofre. Folks there are indeed very worried about this, particularly after Hurricane Kay in September revealed the seriousness of the threat.
And we'll get to your phone call in a minute. The global warming part of climate chaos is making storms stronger and more numerous. Many nukes throughout the world are built near the ocean, so they're all vulnerable, not just San Onofre near San Clemente, California. Mainstream media won't connect the dots between coastal storm, the coastal landslide, and the coastal nuclear plant, but we can.
The Department of Energy is celebrating their new source of radioactive waste, a fusion reactor at Lawrence Livermore National Labs. Past claims of making a nuclear reactor that produced more fuel than it used have proven to be false, such as the so-called Breeder reactor in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. The nuclear information and...
Let's continue that story in a minute. Let's take our listener caller.
Oh, we have a call. Great.
Yeah, we do have a call. 212-209-2877. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. It's nice to have a Saturday morning show that takes phone calls. So, okay, I'm going to throw you a big one here. Hopefully Michio Kaku will come on today at noon it all to us about the fusion, the new experiment that was done that apparently is having some good results. What do you understand about fusion and how it works? Where does the energy come from? I said I was going to throw you a big one, right? I know fission, you break open the atom and there's tremendous nucleus and there's tremendous energy holding that nucleus together. So when you release that energy, wow, you have a hell of an explosion. But where does the energy from fusion come from? You fuse two atoms together and you get another atom. Like in the sun, you've got two atoms of heavy hydrogen fused together becomes an isotope of helium plus an electron. And I don't know if it's that electron left over that gives you all the energy. But how do you understand what's been happening with this experiment with the fusion?
It's amazing that's what you ask us. The article we were just about to read, but we took your phone call instead, that's exactly what it's about.
Oh,
it's about the fusion reactor.
Great.
And yes, when you combine two hydrogen atoms to make a helium atom, you release a tremendous amount of energy. That's where the energy for the hydrogen bomb comes from, right? Two hydrogen atoms, hydrogen bomb. And I guess we should continue that story, Sally. It's funny that you ask us something that we interrupted to talk to you. Let's start it over. Sally, you start.
Sure. Okay. It's the Department of Energy celebrating the new source of radioactive waste, a fusion reactor at Lawrence Livermore Labs. Past claims of making a new nuclear reactor that produced more fuel than used have proven to be false, such as the so-called Breeder reactor in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Now, the Nuclear Information Resource Service, NIRS, has analyzed Lawrence Livermore's announcement and found a lot of problems with the fusion reactor. The energy gain generated by the fusion experiment is not even enough to generate a net gain in electricity. They don't count the massive amount of energy that went into powering the lasers that they used. That's 250 times the amount of energy that it generates.
Fusion mashes hydrogen atoms together until they become helium, so it doesn't require uranium, but it still requires radioactive hydrogen called tritium. The process also emits neutrons, which are difficult to shield and irradiate everything in an end around the reactor. Tritium is often obtained using a uranium-powered fission reactor. That's how they get the tritium to make hydrogen bombs.
Hydrogen fusion is a centralized form of energy to protect utilities from the dangers they perceive from rooftop solar panels. But even the Department of Energy admits that fusion experiments, quote, pave the way for advancements in national defense. The reality is that it is about the military, not energy needs, which may be especially dangerous with what's happening in the world politics today.
Yeah.
A coalition letter signed by over 100 organizations, including NIRS, raised concerns about the thermonuclear explosions, fusion weapon testing, and development.
If solving climate change is really the most urgent priority of U.S. energy policy, nuclear fusion research is a waste of time, money, and resources. In addition to being nowhere near feasible, nuclear fusion is not the clean, just energy technology it has been made out to be. Nuclear fusion is much more complicated in terms of its impacts on the environment and on non-proliferation than its proponents would have you believe. So I hope that answers some of your questions.
It took 70 years to get from the first fusion experiments to where we are today, where they finally managed to get at least a little bit of positive results. We don't have time for them to perfect this. And, you know, even if it could work and not create, you know, a mess of anything surrounding these reactions becomes radioactive with the fusion technology. So this is it's a different form of radioactive waste, but it's still more radioactive waste. And we have another caller.
Yes, we do. 212-209-2877, you're on the air.
Hi, buenos dias. This is Angel. I just wanted to commend you again for your show, and I wanted to switch it up from fusion to fir trees. Just in terms of what are your thoughts in terms of as we're now moving into December and you have people buying Christmas trees and wreaths and so on and so forth in terms of from an environmental point of view, whether you thought that's still a sustainable practice and we should just accept it or not. I do like the smell of the tree, in the home.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see what your thoughts are on that. Thank you.
Sure. I've got lots of thoughts on that. We're hoping to have somebody. We found an article on environmental practices for the holidays, and hopefully we can get in touch with that author and either have her with us or get some info from her. The alternative to, I guess for me, the best choice if you can do it is to have a live tree that you can plant somewhere afterwards. I haven't really looked into the details. Growing Christmas trees as a crop is better than putting up a warehouse. a plastic or a metal tree is a lot of, manufacturing costs, even though you can use it year after year after year. Ken, any thoughts?
If you can keep the tree growing, I know there are people selling potted trees. So you have the pot outdoors in the summer, then you bring it in for the Christmas season, and you put it back out there. So it's less of a fire hazard because it's a living creature. It's not drying out. You water it like you would water any house plant. Of course, that tree can grow, and it'll years and years from now, it'll be pretty heavy. But the smell, I agree with Angel. I love the smell of pine trees also.
Yeah. We did that for my nephew when he was first born. In his first year, my mom got them a little Christmas tree in a pot that they planted out in the backyard. And it did. It grew for years. They've moved away since, but I'm sure it's still there. Unfortunately, he's wound up with an allergy to the pine smell, which we didn't realize for years. So no live trees in that household.
That's tragic.
It's sad. I don't know, tragic.
Well, I think it's tragic because I love trees.
There you go.
The thing about a tree farm is that it's not a really healthy ecosystem. Mm. If you walk into a national forest that's planted for the timber industry. You won't hear any birds. You won't see any birds because there's no diversity. Animals like diversity. They like all different kinds of plants. And when they make a tree farm, whether it's for Christmas or for timber, they make sure there's no undergrowth. They don't want anything competing with the tree for the soil nutrients. And it's just dead. I learned this the hard way because, you know, I remember traveling through the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and there's all these – there's national forests. And I'm like, wow, there must be a ton of birds here. And there weren't. Mm. All the birds were like on the edge of the forest. They weren't even in the forest.
That's
when I started to understand what a tree farm really was.
Yeah.
But I also, somebody showed me a Christmas tree, oh boy, years ago, that had a nest in it. And they were asking me, so what kind of nest is this? And it may have been a robin's nest, because there was a lot of mud to it. And robins use mud in their nests. But whatever it was, it's like, well, somebody was living here and raising kids. So
yeah,
it wasn't all
cool.
Bad.
Yeah, right. I guess, you know, it's a question of what, how big that farm is and what else that land would be used for if it weren't, you know.
Well, yeah, that is a big problem. But it's a hard one because I like the smell. I understand the tradition. The tradition goes back, you know, before Christianity, when ancient pagans would bring greenery into their home as a symbol of the solstice, where the light was going from being less light every day to more light every day. So they would celebrate that.
Yeah, so many of our holidays this time of year all spring from that concern about, you know, the longest night of the year and let's bring that sun back in the depth of winter.
Yeah, so in a matter of speaking, all the December holidays are nature-based.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're paying attention to the light, even if the traditions surrounding it have sort of taken over and we forget. But it's all about the days getting shorter and then getting longer. And, right. You know, you get a little depressed when it's dark all the time, and that sort of brings you up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's time to wrap up, so thanks for joining us this morning. We're glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 a.m., live or on the archives. This has been a different sort of show, appropriate for a different time of day, and we hope that you'll stay with us.
Yeah, thanks to our callers. We love to stay in touch with you, and it's important now that our time slot has changed. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org. and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter eco-logic.
Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics. So go to www.ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org.
WBAI is different from other radio stations. We're independent community radio. We need you for Ecologic and WBAI to exist.
Ecologic and WBAI continue to offer you environmental news, information, and entertainment. Ecologic at 6 a.m. includes more music and listener calls. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
To support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found on both ecologic.wbai.org and on give2wbai.org. So go to ecologic.wbai.org, leave out the www, and donate in the name of Ecologic. To become a member or contribute monthly as a BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic BAI buddy pledges. Most of the BAI staff, including us volunteers, pledging now during this show, really helps Ecologic especially.
Our thanks to our engineer today, Catherine Davis. We appreciate you.
Oh, yeah. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert. Join us again next week for Ecologic at 6 a.m. on Christmas Eve, Saturday, December 24th.
Sun, 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 here we come. You are tuned to WBAI.
I want my freedom.
New York.
Ah.
99.5 FM.
You gotta get me my freedom!
Streaming on www.wbai.org. Freedom of Speech Radio.
On Monday, December 19th at 10:30 a.m., The Gate, the Exonerated Five, formerly known as the Central Park Five, used to enter in Central Park, will be named The Gate of the Exonerated. The ceremony is at 110th Street between Fifth Avenue and Malcolm X Boulevard in Harlem.
You are all welcome to come and bring your families. The members of the Five, with the exception of Antron McCray, who will not be able to attend, we're all going to be there. Our families are going to be there. The boys, now men, are going to be there. And we're hoping that you all come out and join us. It's going to be a great time.
Again, December 19th at 10:30 a.m., 110th Street, between Fifth Avenue and Malcolm X Boulevard. It's the first time in 100 years that a gate will be named in Central Park. This gate of the exonerated represents people who were convicted and exonerated of crimes they did not commit. Innocent people who are still behind bars waiting for exoneration. And for those freed, fighting to exonerate their names.
And Ralph Nader Report will return next week. We have a special coming up now.
Greetings, all, and welcome to another episode of Questioning Everything with Tony Bates. You're tuned to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, Pacifica Radio for the tri-state area. We're the only ones who make radio specifically to serve you, the people. We're proud of this fact and hope that you'll ride with us over the next hour as we explore some very powerful information. Thank you so much for tuning in to WBAI 99.5 FM. We are grateful for every one of you who listens, every one of you who donates to this station. This is People's Radio, and you are the people. You're the reason that we do this, because we believe in the stuff that we bring to you. Because we are commercial-free station, nonprofit station, we're able to bring you alternatives to the messages that you hear in the mainstream. You make this possible when you donate on behalf of this station. Today, our program delves into the secrets of secret societies. Just one of them. What are they really up to during their secret meetings? Well, I don't know, because I've never attended one of their meetings. But our guide today is a former member of a secret society called the Brotherhood, and is a 33rd degree Mason. During his presentation, the presentation that we're offering today, he explains that he was met with violent opposition when he and his colleagues decided to part with their secret affiliations and to go public with the information we'll be exploring during today's program. In fact, so serious were these threats that despite a long public life, including stints on television, our lecturer, the voice you're going to hear after mine, was arrested for his efforts in challenging the secret elite.